AT&T and Apple get into hot water, and Spring takes legal action against the telecom giant. Germany halts Facebook from gathering data off third-party websites, yet continue plans to invade your privacy, and Raspberry Pi gets its own real-life store. All of this and more here. Welcome to the Cutting Edge Tech. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cutting Edge Tech, Episode 2. Well, I'm excited to continue this new adventure, and I'm very excited to bring you the best news. And continuing on the last episode, oh boy, Apple, you just don't learn, do you? Well, apparently they got into another pool of hot water again, because they teamed up with AT&T to promote the 5G Evolution Network. For those of you who don't know, the 5G Evolution Network is what AT&T has been advertising for all this time as the new place for network, like the new mobile network. You know that every mobile network has either 4G, 4G LTE, 3G. Well, 5G is the next step in this mobile networks phenomenon. And they teamed up, Apple and AT&T teamed up together to promote this. But here's the catch. 5G is still not out. Yet, in the latest beta release of iOS 12, the iPhone's operating system will support 5GE. Quote unquote 5GE. And this is funny because since 5G is not even out, 5GE stands for 5G Evolution. That's the title of the news that comes from Forbes.com. And my God, they made such a big mistake in doing this, at least in my opinion, because the thing is that they can't promote something that doesn't exist yet. 5G is something that is still in the works. It's close to being finished, but it's still in the works, yet they continue to promote it. That's not how it works. Sorry to break it to you, Apple and AT&T. That's not how it works. Even, I come from Puerto Rico, and in Puerto Rico, T-Mobile has gone to the extreme of going into advertising for it. I saw this advertisement that got my attention when I was on the road. It said, Samsung Galaxy. It looked like the Samsung Galaxy, but with a masking tape, with the words 5GE written on the tape. And it said, don't be fooled by this. You know, just because it says 5G doesn't mean it really is. And then they continue advertising their products. And it's something that's very interesting that telecom companies are throwing AT&T to hold up this claim that they have the 5G network. And believe it or not, Sprint took action against it. But before I get to Sprint, let's go with what AT&T and Apple have done so far. So, in this news article from Forbes.com, it says, the latest beta release of iOS 12 reveals that the iPhone's operating system will support 5G. What magic has Apple used to achieve the 5G breakthrough? Or is it some clever sleight of hand with the help of AT&T? Even the article acknowledges that there's something wrong in here. And then it continues to say the answer is the latter, thanks to a mix of branding and iconography. A closer look inside the latest iOS beta reveals that the notification bar has a new connectivity icon that sits alongside the signal strength. iPhone will now support 5GE. Here's the thing. Like I said, 5GE is still in the works, and it's slowly being pushed out. But it's not fully fleshed out. You know, it's not out there yet. It's slowly getting out there. But here's the thing, that they're still running on 4G LTE network. And now, with this beta release, which is assuming that something, that in the future they're going to put this out, hopefully when 5G is out there, they actually make sure that they're doing things right, not that they're masking something that with something that hasn't not yet existed. And it's funny because They want to push, AT&T pushes themselves as the innovator of technology, like the best network based on the biggest things, based on the biggest surveys. In reality, they just got a little piece of a company and stuff, and they made a survey there, and that's what they're saying for it. It's kind of ironic, and honestly, I don't like that, because it basically misleads everybody. And that's not the point. If you want to sell your product, make sure to go there, but in my opinion, don't overdo things, and especially with stuff that is still not even there. I mean, that's just my opinion. It also continues to say that the article continues to say, let's be clear, AT&T isn't doing anything wrong. 5GE is not 5G, and it does let users who are used to 4G data speeds know they have stepped up to the faster 4G LTE network. So basically, they're saying that 5G is still not there. AT&T is not doing anything wrong. I think they are. Come on. You're publishing and making people think that they have something that they don't. That's not how it works. I mean, people are going to find out. Because 5G networks are supposed to be even faster than 4G LTE. Like, I'm talking in the gigabits of speeds. And 4G is just scratching the surface. 4G LTE is scratching the surface of the gigabits. It's not even getting there. And 5G is supposed to be the one that gets to those gigabit. It continues to say, this could lead to some courageous marketing choices in September when the new iPhone handsets are announced, because the current understanding is that 5G hardware will not be available for Apple's upcoming smartphones and may not make an iOS-powered appearance until 2020. That goes even farther, because Apple strictly said in the last summit that they had that they are still not 5G ready. They do not have the technological equipment to do that. Samsung is already going with the 5G hardware. They already implemented the 5G hardware in the latest Samsung Galaxies. In the latest Samsung Galaxies in the line, they implemented technology that assures availability of 5G networks when the 5G networks come live. You know, when they roll out in wherever they are, Samsung is ready for them because they have the hardware for it. But Apple does not. And they said that they won't have it until 2020. So basically, they're lying. They're putting something that is still not there on an equipment that is not ready to handle it. So what can this get any lower? Because they said it in September of last year. It said that they will not support true 5G. They will not. They don't have the technological capacities for it. And yet they continue to push this with AT&T. And thanks to that, Sprint went ahead and sued AT&T themselves, the telecom. And they said in a headline from Ars Technica, it says AT&T sued by Sprint must defend decision to tell users that 4G is quote-unquote 5GE. And it also continues to say that Sprint says AT&T's 5GE campaign violates laws against false advertising. What I said, it's false advertisement. They're putting something out there that is still not out there, that is still in development and being slowly rolled out. And it says here in the article, it says that Sprint is suing AT&T, alleging that AT&T's misleading 5GE advertising campaign violates laws prohibiting false advertising and deceptive acts and practices. This is going to be a good one, because if this is actually true, you know, like I said, they're rolling it out before it comes out, and another telecom giant, well, obviously not as big as AT&T, but they're holding AT&T accountable for what they say. If this actually rolls through, this could spell trouble for AT&T. Like, big time trouble. Because, like I said, false advertising. You're not supposed to do that. That is violation of law. So AT&T, I don't know what you're going to do, but you better get your stuff together. Because this is not looking good for you. But it also continues to say in the article that AT&T remains defiant. The CEO, John Donovan, recently defended the 5GE branding, saying AT&T's rivals are frustrated, quote-unquote frustrated, and that, quote, "I have not occupied beachfront real estate in my competitors' heads." What? You're rolling false advertisement, dude. Like, what are you doing? This is gonna look really bad for you, man. Come on, if you don't have the technology yet, don't advertise it. I mean, you can advertise it when it's out, like saying, "Oh, the best 5G network out there. We hold the best signal for 5G." You can do that, but do it when it rolls out. Don't do it when it's not even rolled out properly. Like I said, get your stuff together, because this is not gonna look good for you. Alrighty, so we will be back with more news here on the Cutting Edge Tech, so don't go away. And we are back. Thank you for joining me here on the Cutting Edge Tech. And we continue with our bit of news here. Facebook. Oh boy, Facebook. What have you gotten yourself into this time? So, remember that Facebook was in a controversy last year, the end of last year, about alleged privacy invasion issues? Well, they're back at it again. They spent the last year being apologetic, saying, "Oh, we're not gonna spend more money on selling your data. We're not going to spend more time spending your data, and we're going to cut down our measures to actually gather data for you guys and collect data from you guys." Here's a news article from Bloomberg Businessweek, and it says, "Facebook Inc., which turned 15 on February 4th, spent the last year peppering you with apologies and promises about protecting your personal data from others." Well, they certainly kept that promise, huh? "The company wants you to know that it doesn't sell your data to advertisers per se, and that you can limit data sharing with some other apps. It's going to keep paying for pop-up kiosk and subway ads to reinforce that the thickets of data growing in its garden now are under your control." I would have rather placed that in quote-unquotes, you know, in air quotes, But it continues saying, "But Facebook isn't being completely transparent. You know, it still isn't being transparent about the ways it collects information from you, and it's quietly stepping up efforts to grab lots more." Oh boy, so not getting out of one controversy and getting into another. Imagine, look at this. "The company's knowledge goes so far beyond status updates. It tracks people across the internet on other companies' websites and apps. It uses IP addresses to track ads, to target ads to people who turned off location-based tracking on their phones." So they skipped the location apps, and now they're going for IP addresses, which can basically pinpoint more or less where you are. For in case that you don't know, IP addresses can actually tell you where you are based on the ISP that gives them out, because they're based on one location only. For example, the IPs here in Puerto Rico are not the same as the ones in Europe, and that basically helps target audiences from certain areas, and that's how they manage to bypass locations. And, you know, they manage to go around location-based apps, and they just go with IP addresses to have a general rule as to where they are. And that's actually kind of, I mean, I don't like it, but hey, I guess that's what it is. "It's been caught collecting calls and text histories from users' Android devices." I better be careful with mine, then. "It stored facial data from people who never agreed to biometric scans, and it was just caught monitoring the phone activity of some kids as young as 13. Okay, now this is getting ridiculous. Like, come on! You don't have enough just collecting data. Now you're getting on children that have 13 years? Really, Facebook? Really? You're going that far? Oh boy, this does not spell good for Facebook. I mean, if this trend continues, they're eventually gonna go bankrupt, and that's just not good for business. But here's the thing. Germany decided to put a stop, you know, to pull the emergency brake on this. And they actually did something that was very interesting. I have another news article from Fox News that says, Facebook slammed by Germany as watchdog slaps data use restrictions on the social network. It says this, authorities in Germany have ruled that Facebook should not be allowed to use customer data from other apps and websites to help target advertisements shown on their Facebook pages without their explicit consent. So meaning that, for example, when you go to a third-party website or a website in general, you would generally see ads targeted towards you. Sometimes you'll see Facebook ads and all that stuff. Well, those ads can be used based on what you've searched on the internet and based on what you've liked or seen in other places. Based on all the things that I said before, the trackings and all the data collecting and all that stuff, that basically helps Facebook's, for example, in this case, we'll use Facebook. It helps Facebook target you with ads specifically tailor-made for you. Now, some people think that this is actually quite good because, you know, I get to see what I want, but, you know, there's still the underlying thing that you're being spied on. And that's where people, like, okay, stop doing that. Like, I don't want this. I want my privacy. I need my privacy. And that's one of those persons. It's me. I like my privacy. And knowing this, it actually makes me a lot more nervous just using my phone every day because I want my privacy. I like my privacy, like I said. But if I'm going to be constantly spied on, I'm not too comfortable with that. And honestly, I don't want that. It continues to say, Zuckerberg's mentor slams Facebook as invasive, manipulative, and says users have the power to fight back. Now, if the ruling is upheld, the one that Germany passed, Facebook will be required to allow users to specifically approve data collected from other Facebook-owned sources and third-party websites assigned to their accounts. The Federal Cartel Office said Facebook was guilty of exploitative abuse by forcing users to agree to allow it to collect data from other Facebook-owned services like WhatsApp and Instagram, as well as third-party websites through the like or share features. So basically that's how they collect the data, based on what you like, based on what you share, they decide and put a profile on you on what you like, what you don't like, what you skip through, what you really enjoyed and stayed watching. It's pretty intensive what they're doing, and honestly that speaks volume of how of the lengths that Facebook goes to actually gather all that data for all their users. No wonder people are living in droves. Like, they're being invaded, their privacy is being invaded, and that's where the problem lies. I mean, I wouldn't mind you showing me things that I like and share, because that's basically what I do. You know, if I'm in Facebook, I like stuff, I don't like other stuff, I react to some stuff, and I share what I think it's important or what I think it's kind of interesting, you know? And I wouldn't mind you putting a profile of, hey, this guy likes this based on how many times he's liked this or this type of thing, or the amount of times that he shares this type of thing. I don't mind that. Like, you can do that all you want, but based on my location, on my text, on my calls, on my messages, everything, like, you are going to lengths that are very uncomfortable. And Germany is taking the first steps to actually stop Facebook from doing that. And I'm actually going to applaud Germany in this because that's really good. What they're doing is excellent. They're putting stops on big companies from gathering data. And I don't, like I said, I don't mind gathering data from my likes, my shares, and everything. But come on, don't track the locations. And most importantly, my text messages from WhatsApp or wherever. And don't spy on my phone. If you want me to actually enjoy your platform, don't spy that deep. Or don't spy at all, you know? Just gather information from what you have on your platform, and that's it. That's all you gotta do. Nothing more, nothing less. But anyways, let's see how this goes. This is probably gonna continue developing throughout the weeks. So I'll keep you posted on the next bit of news that happened around Facebook. So let's see how this goes. Well, anyways, we will be back with some more news here on the Cutting Edge Tech. And we are back here on the Cutting Edge Tech. Thank you so much for joining me. And now for a final piece of news, which is very exciting. Raspberry Pi gets its own brick and mortar retail store. This comes from VentureBeat.com, and I'm actually pretty excited about this because I've been following Raspberry Pi for a little while now. And for those of you who don't know, Raspberry Pi is like a small computer, but it's a computer that runs on the Linux operating system. So it is an open source operating system. And I think the operating system is Raspberry OS, and I've worked with it, I've seen it working, and it's very, very good for a low budget computer. Like, I'm telling you, a kit can cost you like $80 only, and it works just like a computer. It has Wi-Fi, it has Bluetooth. The newer iterations have Wi-Fi, integrated Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and a processing power that is almost on par with a normal computer. And I'm surprised about how good this little thing can run. Like, I've seen it being used on emulators, like emulators that support Raspberry Pi. It can be used for so many things. It can be used for the Internet of Things, to control like calendars, TV, tactile TVs, and basically it can be used for so many things. It's so productive. I really, really, really like that these guys are finally getting their own store. And it says here, the Raspberry Pi, believe it or not, now has its very own retail store. Located on the first floor of the Grand Arcade in Cambridge, UK, the Raspberry Pi store is open every day and sells everything from Raspberry Pi microcomputers and accessories to branded coffee mugs, soft toys, and more. So not only do they sell the Raspberry Pis, but they sell like merch for it. That's actually awesome. The sad part is that it's not in the US. Cry. I really wanted it to be here in the US. I'm actually looking forward that if they actually expand, they bring one here to the US, and especially to Puerto Rico. I really, really, really hope they do that, because I would be one of the first persons to go there and buy myself a Raspberry Pi. Like, I can find them on Amazon and everything, but I would totally buy one from an actual store that comes here. Like, I'm totally on board with it, and I really, really want that to come over here to the States. And it's actually pretty amazing. This is something like, it's very innovative because it's such a small thing with such big power. I'm so in love with that thing, and I really been meaning to get my hands on one to actually experiment with it. I'm not too tech savvy on the Linux one, but its operating system, it's very easy to understand. I had one and I worked with it a few days, but I couldn't get into the nitty gritty of it. I'm really looking forward to getting there. And for those of you who want to enter into the Linux world, this is a great place to start, because it's so small, so affordable, and it works just like a computer. All you need is a keyboard, a mouse, and a screen, you know, a monitor, preferably HDMI monitor, because that's the port that they got for video. And it's so amazing. It's so amazing because you can find them right now on Amazon. For those of you in the States, they can find it on Amazon. They're really cheap. Like, a kit with a full-blown kit costs about $80. It's that cheap, and it's so good. You can make a lot of stuff with it. Like I said, you can use it as a calendar. If you program it right, you can use it as a calendar. You can use it as an IoT device. It is so good. It's so good. I really, really hope this thing flourishes, and I really, really hope that they come to the United States. And now we continue over here. Man, the pictures in this article are so, so amazing. It looks really, really good. So, it says, Raspberry Pi, for the uninitiated, is a credit card-sized contraption that can serve as the building block for a fully functional computer. Like I said, one single Raspberry Pi can be used as a single computer, but also, as they mentioned here, it can serve as a building block for a fully functional computer, because you can use more than one and connect them between each other. I remember when I'm in college, one of those years back, I saw a couple of students make a Raspberry Pi cluster. And a Raspberry Pi cluster is basically having a bunch of Raspberry Pis interconnected between each other and actually communicating between each other, sharing their processing power and sharing their storage capacities between each other. and it's so amazing. The project was that they had books, like fully fleshed out books, and it was basically like a word counter and a sentence counter. It was a very good program that can basically tell you how big a book is, how much words are in a book, how much pages does the book actually have. They had different types of books. They had the Bible, they had Harry Potter books, and I actually found out that the Harry Potter books are very close. Like, one of the Harry Potter books is very close to how big the Bible is, and I think one of them even surpassed it. I don't remember, that was a few years back, but it was so amazing. And the processing power of that thing, it had four of them connected between each other, and that cluster was super fast. And the processing power was very minimal, but like it says here, it can be stacked up, it can be built upon, and make a really, really good functional computer. I'm very excited. I don't know if you can tell that I'm really excited. It continues saying, users can construct working PCs or machines that control their connected homes, for example, and it is also used by some third-party maker companies as part of their DIY computer kits. Like I said, it can be used to control many things around your house. If you're using a smart home, if you're trying to build a smart home, if for those of you who like Linux and for those of you who understand Linux or want to get into Linux, it's very easy to do. I worked with it a few days and it was not that hard. I'm a networks major. I'm about to finish my networks major, and I'm also in a computer science minor, and I used to work with it for practicing Python. I started practicing Python. I still have to get back to it, but I used it to practice my Python, and it was so fast, it was so good. Oh, and also to practice my C++ language. It was so good. The reaction time is so quick, and I'm super excited. I'm really excited, and I hope this thing continues to flourish, because this is looking really, really, really good. Like, I'm super stoked for this. I hope these guys have the best sales ever, and that people get into the Raspberry Pi more and make it known more worldwide and be used for a lot more things. I'm really looking forward to see where this goes, and I'm really, really excited for these guys. So well done to you guys from Raspberry Pi. Keep up the good work. I'll be looking forward to seeing you that. I'll be looking forward to seeing that, actually. So now onto our I would like to put this news as something of a down note. I don't like to end this on a down note, but I'm gonna have to, because this is something that's kinda stupid. Because recently, Microsoft is releasing Office 2019, right? But here on this news article from PCWorld.com, it says here, Microsoft dismisses Office 2019 as old and dumb in videos promoting Office 365 subscriptions. Okay, so let me give you a little context here. For those of you who don't know, Office 365 is a subscription plan that Microsoft is giving in order to have Word, Excel, PowerPoint, you know, the basic programs, along with, I think, Access, which is a database program. Publisher, I never use Publisher, so I'm not really savvy on what Publisher does. I think it's, well, I'm not quite sure the full functionality of it, but it also includes that, and it includes Outlook, which is their emails, and OneDrive, which is their cloud storage. And those subscriptions are basically like $60, $65 a year. I think they also have monthly payments, like $20 a month. And they're basically here dissing on Office 2019 for Office 365 subscriptions, which leads me to think, then if you're dissing on a product that you put out there for people that don't want the subscriptions, if you're throwing it into the ground, why did you even release it anyways? I mean, that's just dumb. So it says here, when Microsoft announced the standalone versions of Office last year, known as Office 2019, Microsoft's attitude seemed decidedly lukewarm. We were wrong. Now it's downright hostile. So, and it continues to say, Microsoft released three videos Wednesday to try and demonstrate that the AI-powered, always-updated version of Office 365 trounces the standalone Office 2019 in tasks ranging from automatically filling in geographical data in an Excel spreadsheet to automatically adding relevant skills to a Word resume that can be then sent to a recruiter. In each of these showdowns, Office 2019 forces the user to perform these tasks manually, while Office 365 either automatically performs the task or connects to the internet to simplify it. So basically, they're dissing on it because it doesn't have the automatic functionalities of Office 365, which is kind of stupid. Because if you're actually giving this away, if you're actually giving this product away to the people, and even though you had a very reaction to it, because that's basically what they had. They had a reaction to it, and that's dumb. Why would you even throw something out there that you yourself are not proud of? What? If you're actually gonna do something like this, don't do it, because then people will be like, okay, so you just threw out a standalone version of Office 2019 for those of us who don't want to pay a subscription or can't afford a subscription to Office 365 for a few more perks, because the perks are not that different. I have the Word, Excel, PowerPoint, you know, the Office suite for Office 365. The one that the university gives me, since I'm still a university student. And honestly, the automatic functions of the resumes and the internet connectivity between them, honestly, I don't use them and I don't find them at all useful. Maybe to other people that actually use that, sure, no problem, they can actually do that. But honestly, if you're gonna throw something like this, just, you know, can it. Because if you're not gonna do this, if you're actually gonna rub it down on the floor and say, oh, you are worthless, then why did you even go there? Come on, man. Like, learn your marketing skills. Because this is not something, you know, I'm not marketing savvy, but honestly, this is a stupid move. Because if you're actually marketing for the Office 365 one instead of Office 2019, just don't even bother. Because this is downright ridiculous. Because if you want people to actually buy your products, for example, if you're going to offer Office 2019 like you did with Office 2010 and Office 2013 that had the disc on them, if you want people to actually buy those, then why throw it down the ground? Why not just stick to the Office 365 subscriptions and just continue telling people, oh, you need a subscription in order to continue using our products. If you want the internet connectivity, if you want these more awesome perks, well, quote unquote awesome perks that Office 365 can offer you, then pay us the subscription and you can have all those things. But, you know, if you're going to do this, then how about this idea? Because I remember that before there were, I don't know if they still have them right now. I don't think they do. They just can all of that for the Office 365 subscriptions. Before, they had these professional editions, home editions, enterprise editions. I remember that the Office 2010, I went to Office Max one time in 2010, and I saw three different versions of Office 2010. Home edition, home and student edition, which is the one that my mom got me when I was in high school. I was in high school and she got me that one. And then I thought, okay, then what about the professional one and the enterprise one? And when I read the back of the labels, when I read the back of the boxes, it just added a few more things that to me were unnecessary. So basically what you're doing is basically telling people, okay, there's this other option, but for those of you who need more, here's this other option, and for those of you who really need more, here's this other option. If you're gonna do something like this again, then why not do it? But don't run a product of yours to the ground while you have another one. It just seems bad. It just seems to me like it's bad marketing all around. It's just bad marketing. So honestly, just stop it, Microsoft. Just stop it. Because if you're going to continue doing this, you're just going to run your company to the ground even more than what already people do. Because lately, your picture has not been that very good, so just don't get yourself into hot water. Lately, tech companies have been getting into hot water, and honestly, this is not something that they want to do. Because Microsoft, with their updates on the Windows 10... Microsoft with their Windows 10 updates, and then now with the Office 2019 and the Office 365 subscriptions, it's just going bonkers all around. But anyways, I'm gonna stop right there. Thank you so much for joining me here. I really appreciate it. This is episode 2 of the cutting edge tech, and I'm really excited to continue doing this. Maybe if this podcast continues growing, I might be able to do more and more episodes more frequently, hopefully, because I'm really enjoying doing this. You know, let's just have more fun together. I actually really, really like this. I want to continue doing this. This has been quite of a dream of mine to actually get into the podcast area. And now that I'm actually taking the step forwards, I'm really happy that it's garnering a little bit of attention. Hopefully this continues up. And I'll see you again with some more news on next Wednesday. Thank you so much for being here. And we'll see you on the next episode here on The Cutting Edge Tech. And remember, keep it techie, my friends. Cutting Edge Tech is a technology news podcast focused on the latest news that occurred during the week between episodes. The opinions expressed in this podcast are strictly from the host and should not be taken as absolute facts. If you'd like to suggest a news article to be discussed in the podcast, send it to me at cutting.edgetechpodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear them. Thank you, and see you in the next episode. And remember, keep it techie, my friends.